Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Since we've been studying the darkness in the universe for the last two broadcasts, I thought what I'd do now is give you something from the scripture that shows you a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and a type of the church. You see, in our studies in the last couple of days, we've seen that the darkness in the universe was created by God. So without knowing a lot about what it is, we know that it's not just the absence of light. Isaiah 45:7 says, I form the light and create darkness. So there's something to it. And also we notice that this darkness fills the entire universe, everything under the body of water that separates us from God, that firmament, the waters on the top part of the firmament from Genesis chapter 1. They restrict that light that's on the outside of that body of water and keep this entire universe in darkness. The darkness in this universe then is separated from the light of God. And that light of God was created there in Genesis 1, 3 through 5. And you can't see that light. The only light from God that this world has ever known is the light of Jesus Christ, the light of His words found in the Bible, and the light of His children, when you walk as children of the light. Aside from that, we have two great lights and the stars that God put in the heavens. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the two great lights, the sun and the moon. And we're going to explore the typology of these two lights. The sun pictures Jesus Christ and the bridegroom. The moon pictures the moon, or the bride of Christ. And this is going to be a very interesting study. We'll make a little application. This is mainly for your interest and for your edification. The sun is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, in Malachi chapter 4. That's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. And notice what you're reading here in verses 1 and 2. For behold, the day cometh. That's going to be the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. He says He comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. When John the Baptist talked about destroying wicked people, he said the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and it leaves them neither root nor branch. Now watch what he says in Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now if you're listening and you're not able to actually read in your Bible, you may not have realized what you just heard. Let me read it again. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Do you know how, you know, first of all, do you know who that is? That Son of Righteousness is Jesus Christ. Did you see how his name was spelled? Capital S-U-N. Behold, unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So that's a reference to Jesus Christ, and it was no mistake that the word is spelled S-U-N. It is to clearly demonstrate that Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness, and that the sun in the sky that's up there for signs and for seasons and for light is a picture, a constant picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Psalm 19. You know, people have asked me, I'm sure they've asked you, same question. You know, what is God going to do with the heathen who've never heard of Jesus Christ? Well, interestingly, people who have never heard what you have the opportunity to hear, what I have the opportunity to hear, get to hear something directly from God in the heavens. Psalm 19, look at it. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament. Now, you know what that is. We've been looking at it for the last couple of days. That's outer space. That is the space that separates the water above the firmament from the water that's below the firmament, or outer space. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice, that is the voice of the heavens, is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. What's it like? Verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. That sun typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he is the bridegroom. You see, when John the Baptist was talking about his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. So John the Baptist is the friend of the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. And that bridegroom is pictured by the sun going through the heavens day after day after day. The Bible says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. So somebody can look up there, and God can communicate to him or her based on what they see in that sun. There is something about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the heavens declare that glory. That's what the Bible says. Now, when you can see Jesus Christ physically, you're going to notice that his countenance looks just like the sun shining. That's what it looks like. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, we see a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll move directly to the verse that applies. Look with me in verse 16. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So he looks like the sun in his strength. Now, even when Peter, James, and John saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw that look-alike to the sun, or that typology of the sun. I mean, literally what they saw looked like the sun. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. So when you see him, his countenance, according to Revelation 1:16 and Matthew chapter 17, shine like the sun. But that's not all. Didn't Jesus say when he came here to the earth that he was the light of the world? The light of the world. Look in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, and look at verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, you know, You know what the light of the world is in the universe? It's the sun. That's what gives you light in the daytime. And when Jesus Christ was here, he said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Have you ever learned to really appreciate a sunset? Now, I'll tell you what, there are times when the sunset is just absolutely spectacular. There are times we'll be out riding horseback or something like that and be out late at the sunset, be out away from highways, away from houses, away from obstructions, even away from high lines, and all you see is the sun setting over the horizon. I remember one time riding horseback on the beach and coming in just as the moon was rising full in the east and the sun was setting red in the west. The sun sets red. You know what that pictures? Calvary, where Jesus Christ shed his blood to save us from our sins. I hope the next time that you see that golden kingly sun traveling through the sky on a clear day, I hope as it gets ready to descend that there's a blanket of clouds just along the horizon so that when the sun sets, it goes through that golden, beautiful view and then goes into that purple and bright red. I think they put a purple robe on Jesus Christ before they crucified him, didn't they? And bright red, and then that deep burnt orange and that blood red as a reminder of what Jesus Christ did for you. The sun is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the bridegroom whose countenance looks like the sun shining, who is the light of the world, whose sun sets red, picturing Calvary. But that's not all. The sun rises red on many occasions as well. And you might be thinking in your mind, well, wait a minute. He's not going to die again. Why would the sun rise red? Well, I don't know if you remember, but when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, which is pictured as a sunrise, the second advent, his garments are going to be soaked in blood. That's right. As his horse tramples upon the enemies who rejected the word of God, the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those signs in the tribulation, picturing Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Revelation chapter 19, the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ that he comes back in Revelation 19:11 on a white horse. And when he does, in verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Well, that's that blood that causes it to rise all the way to the horse bridles for 200 miles. If every furlong in the Bible is an eighth of a mile. Revelation 14:20 says, the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's 200 miles of blood, bridle deep, that would travel all the way from Haifa down Megiddo to the Jordan River, all the way down through the Dead Sea, all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba. That's 200 miles flowing in blood as a result of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this even in Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63, and look at verses 2 and 3. Verse 1 for the context. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That's who it is. That's Jesus Christ. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Answer, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. That's why it rises red. It's a picture of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and coming in on that white horse and trampling the blood of those that rejected God and rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might remember, I'm giving you a lot of information here, this is the last one on Jesus Christ, where the sun is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second advent is called day. I showed you that in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, when we started the broadcast. The day cometh that shall burn as an oven. The sun rules the day. That's what it's here for, according to Genesis. Like Jesus Christ will rule in the day when he returns. We were looking at Revelation chapter 19 when the Lord returns and sprinkles his garment with blood. The Bible says in Revelation 19, 15, and 16, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Doesn't make any difference who's ruling at that time. He takes over and becomes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the supreme theocratic ruler of the universe. And I'm going to tell you something. I cannot wait. I am so looking forward to the day when he rules. Now, interestingly, the second advent is called the day, or the day of the Lord, and is pictured by sunrise. And we know the sun rules the day, like Christ rules during his thousand-year reign. But may I say something to you? The church age, the time in which we're living now, is therefore referred to as night in the Bible. As night in the Bible, okay? So as a nighttime in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he comes as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So the church age is nighttime, okay? And the Lord's return is like sunrise. Well, then, if the church age is like nighttime, then guess what? The moon is a type of the church, okay? The moon is a type of the church, and has some effect in the nighttime. Remember that the Bible says the moon rules the night. And since we're in the church age, which is nighttime before the rising of the sun and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you and I are the ones that give off light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, during this time before his coming. Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So as children of the day, then what we do is we rule the night. Now, we're not setting up a kingdom down here for the Lord Jesus Christ, not ruling in that sense, but we are that element of God, that light of God for the world. Now, I'm telling you, it is absolutely mandatory that you and I shine as God's light. Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, is called the bridegroom in Psalm 19, verses 4 and 5. Well, then, you know what? The moon would therefore be like a bride to match her mate. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, we see this very thing. Song of Solomon, chapter 6. That's going to be in your Bible. You've got Proverbs, and then you have Ecclesiastes, and then you have Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 4. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. That's the Lord speaking. And so, thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army of banners. I read verse 4 so that you would understand that the reference to army of banners in verse 10 is a reference to that same beautiful love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what it is? It's the moon. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon? So the moon is the bride, typifying the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I have espoused you under one husband. We are the bride of Christ. In Revelation chapter 21, the bride hath made herself ready. She's clothed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of saints. So we're the bride. Now, interestingly, the sun produces its own light, but the moon doesn't. All the moon does is that the moon reflects the light of the sun. And that's very important because we're not here to show our own light. We are here to show the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So we are incapable of producing our own light as the moon, but we can reflect the light of the sun. In John 15 and verse 5, Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For me, without me, you can do nothing. Well, without the sun, the moon can do nothing. Okay, but with the sun, it can shine some light. And that's what happens to you, and that's what happens to me. All right? We reflect the light of the sun. In Job 25:5, the Bible says, behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. The moon doesn't shine by itself. It shineth not. It reflects the light of the sun. And that's the most you and I can hope to do, because without Jesus Christ, we truly can do nothing. So the moon rules the night and is like a bride, typifying the church, the bride of Christ. And we reflect the light of the sun. May I tell you something else? The moon follows the path of the sun. In other words, you watch that moon go through the sky and you watch that sun go through the sky. They both rise in the east. They both set in the west. So it follows the path of the sun, which is a path that's contrary to the world, by the way. In John chapter 21, verse 22, when Jesus Christ had been talking to Peter about his future, Jesus said to Peter in John 21:22, follow thou me. Those were instructions. Follow thou me. And that's that's our instructions to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something that's interesting? The moon was defiled by the world when a man in 1969 stepped on it. And if you think about it, it pictures the Laodicean church of today, which is all about the man. I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord says, but know you not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I just see that whole thing about standing on the moon, going up there and pulling things out of there is just like the world infiltrating the church today and defiling the church today. There's so many defiling things going on in churches today, representative of the world, that affect our light. And may I tell you something, if you think about it? Very, very important. Our light is supposed to shine and reflect the light of the sun. So we should be like a full moon. But have you ever noticed there are times, and I'm not just talking about a new moon here. Well, actually I should. There are times when the church shines really brightly. There are times when it doesn't shine so bright at all. It's like a new moon. And we've had the church age, and the church age, we've had the dark ages. Remember that? From like 500 to 1500 AD. A time when we were going through like a new moon. And boy, we came out of that thing in the 1600s with a phenomenal revival throughout the world. And that was like the moon shining full. And, you know, it's like the moon is waning now. But I would say even more than that, it's like the moon is eclipsing. In other words, if you really want to cut off suddenly the light that reflects from the moon, just put the world between the bridegroom and the bride. Just put the world between the Son of Righteousness and the bride of Christ. Just put the world between the sun and the moon. and you get an eclipse. And it troubles me that we're in much of an eclipse now. A couple of other things to say about the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon divide light from darkness here on the earth, according to Genesis chapter 1. And they and the world are moving in opposite directions. So that tells me that you and I are not to love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the Bible says. And if any man will be a friend of the world, the Bible says, then he is an enemy of God. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God, James 4:4 says. Listen, there are lots of churches that are telling you what you need to do is just go along with the world, join your enemy, get them all under the same roof, and we'll be able to win them. I don't believe that for a minute. The sun and the moon don't travel with the direction of the earth. We're running contrary. And that's the way we're to run, in opposite directions. There's a broad way, let the world have that one. There's a narrow way, that's where the church belongs. A preacher once said that a Christian who is not separated from darkness and who isn't shedding light on that darkness is not a Christian by the Bible definition. Because Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that you and I are to walk as children of the day, and we are to reprove the unprofitable works of darkness. When was the last time that you ever reproved the unprofitable works of darkness or the unfruitful works of darkness? The Bible says, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you sometimes were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So walk as children of the light and let your light shine. Preach that gospel of light that those that are lost around you might know Jesus Christ as their Savior too. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.